While the rest of the nation celebrated Thanksgiving, the United American Indians of New England gathered in Plymouth, across from the famous rock, to observe the 43rd annual National Day of Mourning. It's a day when indigenous people native to this land speak their history to the common myth that is Thanksgiving. Wenonim James, of the Wampanoag Nation, and co-founding member of United American Indians of New England, was the first to address the 200 gathered at the top of Coles Hill.
So what is the real truth about the first Thanksgiving? According to popular myth, the Indians and the Pilgrims sat down and had a wonderful dinner, and everyone lived happily ever after. Well, here is the truth. The reason they talk about the Pilgrims and not an earlier English-speaking colony, Jamestown, is that in the Jamestown colony, the circumstances were way too ugly to hold up as an effective national myth. For example, the white settlers in Jamestown turned to cannibalism in order to survive. And that's not a very nice story to tell kids in school. The Pilgrims did not find an empty land any more than Columbus discovered anything. And speaking of Columbus, last year two of my children, Kimi Malasha and Wamsakook, ran a petition at their school to have Columbus Day renamed Indigenous Peoples Day. And they were successful. And that's why the youth are so important, because they carry our future with them. Now, each and every inch of this land is Indian land. The Pilgrims, who did not even call themselves Pilgrims, did not come here seeking religious freedom. They already had that in Holland. They came here as part of a commercial venture. The Mayflower Compact was nothing more than a bunch of white men sticking together to ensure that they would get returns on an investment. They introduced sexism, racism, anti-lesbian and gay bigotry, jails, and the class system to these shores. And they were no better than any other group of Europeans when it came to the treatment of the indigenous peoples here. And no, they did not even land on that sacred shrine just down over this hill called Plymouth Rock, which is a monument to racism and oppression, which we are proud to say we buried not once, but twice in 1970 and again in 1995. And I'm sad to report that the conditions which prevailed in Indian country in 1970 still prevail today. We continue to demand an end to the Bureau of Indian Affairs. This was a demand in 1970, and it is still a demand today. When will Native nations be free to govern themselves without federal oversight? And why has no one been prosecuted for the Bureau of Indian Affairs' outright theft of billions of dollars in trust money? How dare Washington sit in judgment of who is federally recognized as Native and who is not? Now, those who started National Day of Mourning in 1970 spoke of terrible racism and poverty. Well, racism is still alive and well. Our people are still mired in the deepest poverty. We still lack decent health care, education, and housing. And every winter, thousands of our people have to make a bitter choice between heating and eating. Our youth suicide rates, our rates of alcoholism, continue to be the highest in the nation. And as the economy crumbles around us, these conditions will only worsen. And as a veteran, I have to say one thing. President Obama, bring the troops home and use those billions to rebuild this nation. Part of our agreement in 1998 called for the town to erect two plaques, one here on Coles Hill to honor Day of Mourning, and the other in Post Office Square to honor Metacom or King Philip. So finally, there are two rocks in Plymouth that speak the truth. Now, a few have asked if the placement of these plaques will end the need for us to continue to come to Plymouth and speak the truth. The answer to that question is no. We will continue to come to Plymouth and protest as long as sports teams and schools continue to use racist team names and mascots. We will continue to gather on this hill until the U.S. military and corporations stop polluting our mother, the earth. We will continue to stand here and protest until racism is made illegal. We will not stop protesting until the opposition of our two spirited sisters and brothers is a thing of the past. When people have homes, when immigrants from Central and South America are no longer hunted down, when no person goes hungry or is left to die because they do not have access to quality health care. We will never stop coming to this place until police brutality no longer exists in communities of color. And we will not stop protesting until our brothers, Leonard Peltier and Mumia Abu-Jamal, and so many other political prisoners are free.
Wenonam James. His co-founder of United American Indians of New England and his life partner, Matoan Monroe, also addressed the gathering. She had many things on her mind, from paying tribute to the recent passing of prominent natives, to electoral politics, to the Israeli-Palestine conflict.
When we come here, we have many different things on our minds. We think of those who have passed into the spirit world this year. Little Crow. Russell Means, who was here back in the 1970s. Bob Gustafson. A lot of the old-timers here will remember Bob Gustafson, who was such a fine speaker and writer, who moderated the National Day of Mourning program with Wamsutta Frank James for many years, who did so much as an activist and to educate people about Native sovereignty. We think of Leonard Peltier, a warrior from the American Indian Movement. Leonard Peltier has been falsely imprisoned by the U.S. since 1976, framed up by the FBI for allegedly shooting two FBI agents at Pine Ridge in South Dakota in 1975. Currently, he is at the U.S. Penitentiary in Coleman, Florida. Paulette Robidoux from Leonard's Defense Committee wanted us to know today that Leonard is doing well, and he would appreciate it if folks would write to their congressperson and senator and ask them to work with Congressman Lewis to appeal to President Obama for his release. And we're going to have lots more information later in the program about that. And I don't know about you, but I get really mad every year when I see all of the photos of the presidents pardoning turkeys. But not one of them yet has cared about justice for Leonard Peltier. Today, some folks may be thinking of the elections that just ended. I guess I'll get more excited when the politicians do something for poor and working people. We think of what is happening to the earth and skies and water. Some of you lost power and heat and transportation and were low on basics like food and diapers because of the Superstorm Sandy. We see what they're doing in tar sands and what has happened in Fukushima and continues to happen there, and pipelines being dug everywhere. The greedy energy corporations are drilling deep down into the earth and pumping in chemicals for fracking. There are more and more warnings that everyone needs to stop and change. So we all settle down our minds together on this day. And Gaza is on my mind. It is not about religion. It goes back only to the start of Zionism in the late 1800s, and it goes back to 1948. Europeans here on our land, and Zionists and Palestine alike, longed for a land without a people, for a people without a land, didn't they? The Zionists hate the Palestinians because they are a living reminder of the bloody roots of their country. I guess as ancestors of people labeled bloodthirsty savages, we Native people know that demonizing a victim is a way of hiding government crimes, isn't it? The Palestinian struggle is about the land. It's about their being dispossessed of their land. This is one of the many things that we Native people here share in common with our Palestinian sisters and brothers. Their land base has been reduced to a few reservations, or bantustans, if you want to call them that. The people of Gaza lack fresh water, electricity, arable land, employment, safe homes, sewage plants, food sources, and fresh air. It's estimated that 80% of the population is on food relief in Gaza. The U.S. accuses Palestinians of cowardly acts. I wonder who is the coward. Israel uses sophisticated state-of-the-art weaponry, courtesy of the U.S. taxpayer, to attack an unarmed, half-starved, and densely packed population who have nowhere to run because their borders have been sealed 24/7 for 6 years. Here is something I didn't see in the New York Times. Israel's Interior Minister Eli Yishai said, "The goal of the operation is to send Gaza back to the Middle Ages." He and others like him in government and the military must be cousins to Colonel Chivington, who in the 1800s advocated killing Indian women, women and children because nits make lice. What if Hamas dumped all its rockets in the sea tomorrow? Would the illegal blockade be lifted? Would their young people be able to come and go as they wish and attend school freely? Of course not. You just have to look at the West Bank, which is not being accused of firing rockets. The illegal Israeli occupation in the West Bank continues, and so does the ethnic cleansing, the land theft, the illegal settlements, the colonization, the demolition of Palestinian homes, the kidnapping and detention of civilians, and the massive interference with their freedom of movement. Years ago, people around the world built a movement to shut down the apartheid government of South Africa. Today, we, all of us, need to work to build an anti-Zionist movement that will rival that old anti-apartheid movement. When injustice becomes the norm, when injustice becomes a law, our resistance is not a choice, it is a duty. And the same is true for our sisters and brothers in Palestine. Free Leonard Peltier.
Juan Gonzalez is a Mayan Indian. He spoke of the rumors of the end of the world on December 21st.
Let's be clear. There is no end of the world according to the Maya prophecy. But the end of the world has everything to do with the prophecy of raping, exploiting our Mother Earth, of her water, her mountains, her creatures, gold, coal, oil. What is this prophecy, you may ask? Is the prophecy that came in 1492 without no heart, blind, deaf, out of balance, and greed steering her steps? Is the prophecy of the forked tongue? The forked tongue will be the cause of the end of our world. It is up to all of us to prevail over the forked tongue way of life. We need to take our future in our hands now. We cannot allow the forked tongue people to keep destroying our planet, the future of our children, and all the future generations. Thank you very much.
Another Mayan living in Boston goes by the name of Rosalba. She is a teacher of youth and an activist.
It's a pleasure to be here again, one more day of mourning. And people say, have a happy Thanksgiving. And I say, it's Thanksgiving every day for us. It's been Thanksgiving every day for us. We don't bless only one day for the pie and the turkey and the apples. It's every day. As soon as you wake up, it's another day, and we give thanks. And that happens from South America, Central America, and North America. But today we start with beautiful prayers and beautiful offerings to the east, to the north, to the south, and to the west. And people didn't believe in us. They thought that, yeah, we were witches. People believed them. Yeah, those people are savages. And you know, we don't need to have a house to pray. Our praying spots is the ocean, is the volcanoes, is the rivers, is the waterfalls. is everywhere where nature shows. That's where we pray. You don't need to be inside a church, inside of a building to pray. You don't need to be all in quiet spaces. This is our spaces. About 15 years, 14 years, when all the police were here, 14 years, I remember walking down the street, and we're walking, and the police encounter us right half a block, and they start putting pepper spray to all of us, and they start shouting to us, "Go back to where you belong." They point to us, "Go back to where we belong." We all turn back. You see that street? We turn back. What do we see? The ocean. We never came from the ocean, people. Never. Where do we go? We all turn back and shout back to the police. No, you go back to where you belong. So it has to be a time, and I know it's hard. It's hard because probably you didn't choose to be born here. Probably your parents came and you're born here. And now we have to deal with that, right? You and I have to deal with that. And how do we make it better? There is a lot of things to make it better.
Every year at National Day of Mourning, Leonard Peltier sends a written statement. And every year, the reading falls upon his friend, Bert Waters, an elder from Cape Cod.
Greetings, my relatives, friends, and supporters. It is with great honor that I get a chance to speak with you, even though it's a written message and someone has to read it to you. I'm saddened that we have to call this a day of mourning, but we must take every opportunity to remind this nation when it comes to keeping their word about treaties, about human rights, about the environment, about excessive pollution, that it has failed miserably on all of those concerns. Also, I want to remind the major religions that speak about peace and love and brotherhood and are celebrating this thing called Thanksgiving, that we, the native people of this land, realistically, overall, have nothing to truly be thankful about regarding the arrival of the pilgrims. And I would also like to remind the major various religions of this country that in all their teachings, it says you reap what you sow. And if that is a true statement, if that is the law given by the Creator, then you have to only look around at the news of the day to see what that statement is coming to pass. This country is not keeping its solemn word under God that it gave regarding our treaties. And they don't keep their own scriptures. And they say not to bear false witness or lie. They violated their word where it says, "Thou shalt not kill." Violated every one of their commandments regarding our people in this land. And they will truly reap what they sow. One thing as a people that we do have to be thankful for and thankful to the Creator only. And we still live. We are still a people. And we still know who we are. We still have a commitment to the Creator to protect this land. We still have a commitment to protect the laws of nature that were given unto us, to our ancestors. We are probably the only people on this continent that would be better off if this whole system fell apart, because we possess the knowledge, the teaching, and the culture to live in harmony with what the Creator has given to us. I want to say I am an ordinary man caught up in extraordinary circumstances. There is nothing that I have done or said that you cannot do or say. And much better, because you possess more freedom than I do. We need each other. If I am ever to be free, I need you. And the truth is, none of us are truly free right now, because any people who is afraid of their government is not free. We all need to be warriors of one. Each needs to know how to defend themselves on any level. And as I have said before, we need to recapture the freedoms we've lost and protect the ones we still have. Our battle is not a race. Our battle is not with people or color. Our battle is with ignorance and greed that is ruling the governments of men today. Again, I want to thank you in the spirit of Crazy Horse and all those beautiful people that have stood up for what's right in the past and the ones standing up now. Stay strong and support one another. Your friend, always and in all ways, Leonard Peltier.
We have another speaker. And she's come here, she's a Cherokee sister who's come here from New York to share some words with us. Her name is Stephanie Adahi.
Thank you. First, I would like to thank the United Americans of Indians of New England for bringing us all here together today once again for a day of truth-telling. Because exposing the lies of colonialism and manifest destiny and imperialism is the essence of our struggle today. All of humanity, all of the life on this planet, the habitats, the forests, the plants, the birds, the animals, the fish are in danger of execution. You know, they're in danger of what the scientists call a mass die-off. And this full moon superstorm Sandy was a wake-up call, because the profit system is using our Mother Earth as a dumping ground, as something to just steal from and get more fossil fuels. Don't stop taking those fossil fuels and dumping the toxic chemistry into our waters, into the air that we breathe, into the soil from where we need to grow our food. You know, and if they kill Mother Earth, that's it. You know, that's all of us. This is the struggle of our day, is stopping this profit system. And we like to look to the Incas. And the Incas are sometimes misrepresented as an empire. In fact, they were very communal. They took care of their own. They distributed goods from warehouses to everyone in need, all of the women, the children, the elders, the disabled, the sick. You know, we could live like that. We could get rid of the profit system. We could live like the Incas.
Yeah. Stephanie of the Cherokee Nation came from New York. So did Tycosan Ghost Horse. He is of the Lakota Nation and gave a quick lesson in Lakota philosophy.
We speak with quality, not of ourselves, but of relations. And this is how we think of relations. We realize that everything is equal to who we are, but we are not outnumbered as native peoples. As you see, the trees are our brothers and sisters. The birds and the animals that you call them are our brothers and sisters. So we as native people, we are not outnumbered. You are the people that came here to claim in the name of Spain and shame. This is what it's about. We have to realize now, this is 2012, according to that calendar. Time for change. And that time's happening now. I know you guys, all of you that participate in the system and vote and think it's going to be changing. Nothing's going to change. Mother Earth will change it just like that. Just like that, overnight. In New York City, things changed overnight in a matter of hours. And this was about the lack of. So we're speaking about a lack of. People did not know what to do because they were plugged into a program, a system called the United States of America. And they don't know how to think anymore. I realize many of us here, the choir, we can feel there's something wrong, but we still don't know how to think about it. Well, get this. If 125,000 electromagnetic waves come from the heart, 5,000 electromagnetic waves come from the head. Lakota language is a heart language. Lakota do not have a brain. We don't need a brain. We have a nasula. This means that your brain is merely a seed of the heart.
Anna Juan Whedon, Mashpee Wampanoag, will be speaking next, and we're pleased to see him. His father stood with us here many, many, many years.
Kwe. Square kwasani tompak na tasuis Anna Juan, Mashpee Wampanoag. Katapatash what you want me to talk sak one on itampaka katapatash what you want me nitampaka kuamanish. We're here in what they now call America, but this is Wampanoag territory, and I highly encourage folks to learn the language here. So kwe, greetings to you all. It's great to have everybody here. As she mentioned, my dad and a handful of others started this back in the 70s, I believe, around the time I was born. Got to see a lot of things that took place. We give thanks every morning for that sun. We give thanks throughout each and every day. I give thanks for my mealworm when I'm eating at McDonald's, folks. Every day is a Thanksgiving. When they declared their religious day of Thanksgiving, any of you who have any inkling of the true history know that these people came here for their religious freedoms. Puritan Christians. If you were a Christian and you weren't a Puritan, you still weren't good enough. If you were a Catholic and you were a nun, you were a whore of the cloth compared to these people. They put themselves above everyone else, including their own. Do you honestly think they would invite a heathen savage such as myself, who is a pagan, devil-worshipping, witchcraft-worshipping savage? No. To break bread with them? On their religious day of Thanksgiving? No. The reason why 90 warriors showed up here in Plymouth that day is because Massasoit had promised to protect them. And he didn't get the memo that when they were going to start shooting their muskets as part of this celebration, that he was supposed to back off his troops. He marched all the way out here, 40 miles, just to find out they're stuffing their face with turkey. That's what Massasoit did. That's why we were here at that first Thanksgiving. And I encourage all of you to get out to a library, get out to a school, even if it's your own, it better be your own kids' school, because this is what they're teaching your kids. I excuse my kids from school whenever they're being asked to dress up as pilgrims and Indians. There's so many injustices still going on every day here, folks. Every day. This language I have to speak just so people understand me on my own continent is a tragedy. I hate these clothes. There is so much we talk, this pavement on my hunting grounds, our clams being polluted. These clams make my stories. My ink doesn't smear. We need our history. These things are still important to us. I was very glad to hear my Lakota brother speaking about what the land is still important to us as Native people. Not all of us are about casinos. Many of us still believe the origins for why we were put here in the first place, to protect this land and to maintain the balance amongst all creations. Plant, animal, winged, fished, finned, does not matter. We are all beings here on our Mother Earth. So I'm going to ask all of you to please stand with me. I don't care what race you are. I don't care what religion you're from. I don't care if you're Romney or Obama. We're human beings, and we need to stand up for humanity. So I'm going to go march around Plymouth, and I hope you guys will join me.
Anna Ward of the local Wampanoag Nation giving one of several points he made at the National Day of Mourning. With that, the crowd then marched through the streets of Plymouth without police escort, without permits, and to the astonishment of many tourists. Reporting from the streets of Plymouth, Massachusetts, I am Chuck Rosina for the Boston Community Radio Project.